To stand to your feet, let's get ready to preach and teach the Word of God today. We thank the Lord for all that He has given us. Turn with me to the last book of the Bible. I finished a sermon series, but the Lord hasn't let me out of Revelation yet. Revelation chapter number 16, amen. And I want to read one verse for you. Revelation chapter 16, amen. And while you're turning there, Sylvia C. Hall. Is Sister Sylvia with us today? Where's Sylvia? Amen, amen. And it says Triumph Baptist Church. It's good to have you. I do know that Dr. Hall is the pastor there. Are you related to Dr. Hall? All right, all right. Well, if you were, bless you. If you're not, bless you. But I want to make sure that we gave acknowledgement and we bless the Lord that you were here. She wrote that she just saw the church and decided was led to come on in. Isn't that something? You've got a praise offering for that. So God bless you, Sister Sylvia. And do tell Pastor Hall we said hello when you see him, all right? Amen. Revelation chapter 16, verse number 15. One verse. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. I want to emphasize that latter part of the verse. Lest he, and we would dare say she, walk naked. Somebody say naked. And they see his or her shame. I want to ask that you pray with me today on the title of today's sermon. Make sure you are not naked. Make sure you are not naked. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable in your eyesight. For Lord, you are our strength, and Lord, you are our Redeemer. We ask that you would have your way now, here today, and that you, God, will continue to move in this place. Touch somebody. Illuminate minds, encourage heart, convict souls, we pray, that somebody may yield to the salvific gift of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Thank you, Lord, for those of us who claim the gift already to be followers of Jesus the Christ, who celebrate him during this time of Christmas. Help us to have a closer walk with thee. I plead the blood of Jesus and ask for the anointing of the Most High God to fall fresh upon me, upon us in this place. And we shall be careful, God, to give you glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus' name, let the people of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. May be seated. Ushers, you may also take your seat. The idea of physical clothes is interesting if you were to do a word search in the Bible. If you were to ask the literal and symbolic relevance and meaning and application of clothes that we have on, the bonnets, the hats, the shirts, the ties, the dresses, the shoes, the clothes, our physical layering that covers our body. One only has to go to the second chapter of the book of Genesis to find that Adam and Eve were created naked in the garden, and yet because of their shame, they covered themselves with fig leaves. Amen. And they made clothes out of the natural garments that were around them. But one might conclude that that was not the original intent God had for his two new people. Point of fact, the Bible says that they were naked and unashamed when God created them. But because of their shame, they decided, because of their sin, they decided to hide and cover themselves with the leaves of the trees that God had made in the garden. clothes. One only has to go into the New Testament and look at Jesus in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John when he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another." And he takes off his outer covering and he puts on and has his inner clothes around him as a way of further humbling himself before his apostles to say that the Son of Man came to serve and not be served. And so in one case, the first humans, Adam and Eve, put clothes on to hide their shame. And in another case, Jesus, the greatest gift of all, took off some clothes to show forth that even the Son of God came to serve humanity. And he says, if I can humble myself and serve you, you ought to humble yourself and serve your brother and your sister. Amen, somebody. And so clothes throughout the New Testament and the Old Testament have interesting displays of meaning and relevance and application. And today we get into the idea that the Apostle John writes by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who says unto him, "I want you to write to the people, to the church in the last day, that they ought to be looking out for me, because I'm coming like a thief in the night," Jesus says. And he says, "When I come, I want you to be clothed." Blessed is that man. Blessed is that woman that has his clothes on, that keeps his garments on, is ready to do what God has called him to do, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And so clothes in this case takes on an interesting dimension and relevance to the people of God, the people of faith, that Jesus himself, who we believe these words represent, says to John to write to the people in the church that when I come, I want you to have your clothes on and be ready, lest you are walking around naked and walking around in shame. So, preacher, what are you talking about then, to make sure that I'm not naked when Jesus comes? This word "come" should not be overlooked easily, because I said to you last week, and I want to say it to you again, it is one of the verbs that is most often repeated repetitively in the Gospel of, in not only the Gospel of John, but in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible written by the Apostle John. And I said that in chapter number 22, John is encouraged to write this phrase that Jesus says. He says it three times in verse number 7, verse number 12, verse number 20. In chapter number 22, he says, "Behold, I'm coming quickly." He says it once, and he says it again, "Behold, I'm coming quickly." He says it a third time, "Surely I am coming quickly." And then he goes on to say in verse number 17, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. And those who hear say, come. And those who are thirsty, you ought to say, come." And last week, Jesus came. And even today, for 3 days after Christmas, we are 2 days after Christmas, you and I ought to still be inviting Jesus to come, Jesus, come into my life, come into my life, come into my family, come into my marriage, come into my job, come into my church, come into the choir, come into the deacon's ministry, come into the deaconess ministry, come into the pulpit, come into the choir loft, come into the pianos, the musicians' hands, come into the church, come into my community. Invite Jesus, because sometimes we have not because we ask not. Don't take it for granted that Jesus wants you to invite him in. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Don't ever get tired of inviting the Lord into your situation. Come, Lord Jesus. I need you now. Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw yourself from me, where else can I go? I don't have anybody else to turn to. I can't go to my mama. I can't go to my daddy. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Come into this situation. And so John is encouraged by the Spirit of the Most High God to emphasize. And we believe in this verse 16, chapter 16, verse 15. Jesus, again, even before chapter 22, obviously says, I'm coming as a thief in the night. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments. And so the phrase I want you to focus on in that verse number 16, blessed is he or she who watches, right? Got your eyes open, looking at the signs of the times, looking at when man is going to turn against father's going to turn against son, and son is going to turn against father, looking at the signs. Mother will turn against daughter, daughter against mother, looking at the signs. Wars and rumors of wars, ISIS in China, Pakistan, Iraq, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan, Turkey, wars and rumors of wars, famine in the land, all the signs are all around us. Blessed is he or she who is watching and looking at what's going on around them. And the Bible then goes on to give us this interesting parallel, and it says, unless you walk naked and the people around you see your shame. The Lord was dealing with me today, on this, and wanted me today to share with you that this last Sunday of the year, as we always do, let's start reflecting back on what God has done in our lives. And don't just look back and say thank you for what you did for me, but take a look through your spiritual eye at the signs of the times, of the things that have happened in your life, and understand that God is at work and God is moving. And you ought to say, God, give me eyes to see it and ears to hear it and a spirit to follow it. Even though I don't understand it, I'm asking you to help me, God. Better walk by faith and not by sight. I've been through some things this year and 2015. This ought to be your testimony. I've been through some storms. I've been through the rain. But through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. And I've learned to trust in God. He brought me over the mountain. He brought me through the valley. He brought me out of the terrible darkness and the wilderness I found myself in. Lord, give me eyes to see it, ears to hear it. Help me to put on my garments. Help me to be ready when you come. Help me to be clothed with my testimony. Help me to have a garment of praise. Help me to put on something and take off some other stuff. Come on, somebody. Clothes are symbolic because there are things that you put on and there are things that you take off. And some of us on this last Sunday of the year, before you jump into 2016, ought to just purpose in your spirit that you're going to take off some stuff and you're going to put on some other stuff. Come on, somebody. I need somebody to realize that God does not want you walking around naked. What do you mean, preacher, by me walking around naked? There are three words God dropped in my spirit about this text. One of them is the word require. A second is the word right. And third is the word righteous. And so require, and there are three words to append to it. Require has appended to it the word requirement. The word right has appended to it the word judgment. And the word righteousness or righteous, the Lord had me to append to it the word discernment. And so there's some things that you and I have to decide and worry and think about in terms of what we put on and what we take off. Come on, somebody. And so let me just say it this way. Number one, I believe that there's some things we can put on and take off that are just in our that are decisions that we make that are based upon our base decision making. Brother Toby Sanders, who came here not too many weeks ago for Men's Day, talked about the neuroscience of our brain and how the cortex of our brain, or the stem of our brain, is where our base decision making is, our fight or flight decision making response system is. You don't even have to think about it. Your heart starts to beat. Your blood starts to race. Your air starts running through the veins. It is your base fight or flight system at the base of your brain. That's why some folk can be brain dead, but they can still be alive, because their body is still functioning, because your body, the base of your brain, says pump the lungs, push the blood through the heart, circulate the blood. But you have no higher order thinking abilities, because that's all in the front of your brain. So this movie Concussion that Will Smith is playing in and making popular, it's all about how the front end of our brain, the front end, the frontal cortex here, not here, but here, suffers concussions and impairs our ability to think. But yet when you look at what's back here, at the base stem of your brain, the brain stem, they call it, it is where we do our basic things. And so the word that comes to my mind about that is this word that I've shared with you that I want to keep putting forward in your spirit today, and that is require. Your blood requires to pump. Your heart requires oxygen. There's some things that we require that moves and does without you even thinking about it. And so the question is, are you doing some things and putting on some things or taking off some things that have become so woke in your memory that you don't even think about it, but you just do it by happenstance? Some of y'all still look at me funny. Let me put it this way. Do you think about whether or not you frown all the time? Or is it just part of your nature and happenstance, because you've been frowning so long that you don't even think about it now? So all you do is go around frowning, because what you've been doing so long, it's become rote memory in your mind, in your spirit, that it is just there, it happens. Or are you the kind of person that is joyous all the time, no matter what comes your way? You've got praise in your spirit, because what you've been doing and praising God is what you do naturally in the midst of your situation. So the question is, what kind of clothes are you wearing? Are you doing things that is so fundamental to your nature that has become second nature, that your brain stem has now said, this is what we do? We go around praising the Lord. We go around frowning all the time. I go around lifting up my hands and giving God glory. I can't find nothing to praise God about, so all I do is fold my hands. I go around saying, Lord, you are moving in spite of my circumstances. Or have my circumstances beat me down so bad that I can't find anything to give God glory for. And so this first word of requirement comes to mind. It's something we do without thinking. What kind of clothes do we wear without even thinking about it? The second word that comes to my mind is the word right. And right involves judgment. Whereas require or requirement, you're not giving a lot of thought to this. It's who you are. It's in your nature. But when you have a right, you're making a decision. Well, I have a right to do this, and I have a right to do that. Oh, I have a right not to do this. And I went for the first time in Marist and Daniel and said, I got a right to do this. I say, well, you better find yourself another residence then. Because in this house, you don't have any rights till you get 18. And you have minimum ones after that. But some of us, we use our judgment to think about things that we want to do or don't want to do. I believe that when we get into what, when you go to the closet, right? Because the first one, you don't even worry about the closet. It's what you wear. It's what you are, right? But the second one, you go to the closet. What kind of clothes am I going to put on today? Am I going to look good? Or am I just feel like wearing some jeans? Put on a jogging suit or wear a three-piece suit? How do I feel today? You make some judgment about what you want to wear. And there is a decision that you have to make in putting on certain kinds of clothes. And remember, this is all about when Jesus comes, what kind of garments are you going to have on? And are you going to be ready when Jesus comes? That's all I'm trying to say. I want to get you ready because Jesus is coming back again sooner rather than later. And you're not going to have time to go to the closet later. You got to figure out what kind of clothes you're going to wear right now. So you go to the closet and decide, yeah, I feel this way or I don't feel this way. And you know what that gets into in my mind? My mind goes back to Romans 12, where Paul writes this notion of being transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you would prove what is that good and perfect will of Almighty God, or what the Old Testament says in Proverbs, lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge God, and God will direct your path. See, when we get into the second word, we want to wear what we want to wear. Right? We're big and bad, so we want to put on what we want to put on. No, I don't feel like forgiving him today. No, I don't feel like praying for her today. No, I don't feel like holding hands with them today. I don't feel like going to that rehearsal today. Or I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it. I'm going to put on what I want to wear when I want to wear it. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to do my prerogative. And I'm here to tell you that when you start doing your thing, you're going to get yourself into some trouble. Be careful the kind of clothes you're putting on. And amen, somebody. And I just, it may not make a lot of sense to you there, but keep thinking about it. And the third thing I want to do as I get ready to close to my seat is this word. The last one is righteous. So my right to do what I want to do is one thing. But when I become a child of God, I give up my right and I submit to God's righteousness. You're not getting that, are you? And the difference between righteousness and requirement is the word discernment. Discernment is different than judgment. See, when I use my judgment, I'm leaning on me. When I use my spiritual discernment, I'm leaning on God. When I get up in the morning, I want to put on what I want to wear. I'm leaning on me. When I say, God, what do you want me to wear? I'm leaning on his discernment. Come on, somebody. There's a difference between discernment and your judgment. God wants you to get to not the first word, because the first word you may slip up, right? Whatever is in you and gonna come out. I believe that, and you may try to dress it up or cover it up. The second word of using your judgment of what you want to decide and put on is another one. But we as Christians need to get to the third level, and that's discernment. Discernment is, God, give me with a direction of what you want me to do. God, tell me where you want me to go. God, give me the words you want me to say. God, help me get through this situation the way you want me to do it. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not my will, but I want to do my master's will. I want to represent Jesus, the author and the finish of my faith. You and I need to get to a point where we have laid aside our judgment and get to a point where you are leaning on the will of God and hearing His discernment. Lord, help me to understand what you want me to do. And so going back to this verse in chapter 16, verse number 15, I'm coming like a thief. Coming like a thief. And when I come, I want you to have some clothes on. I don't want you to walk around naked. How many of you ever heard of the foolish king, the emperor's folly? He didn't realize he didn't have no clothes on. The reality of how other folk look at us and we're doing foolish behavior. I don't ever call folk fools, but I do say you doing foolish things. Because far be it for me to call somebody a fool. A fool is, in the Bible, is defined as someone who renounces the very existence of God. I remember the Numbers 22. Read this when you go home. Numbers 22, the story of Balaam, Balaam's donkey. And Balaam, the Bible says that Balaam was riding at the invitation to go to a king by the name of Balak. And he was on his donkey. But here's the point. God didn't tell him to get on the donkey and go. And so because he didn't, he used his judgment and not his discernment. The donkey was riding along. And in the path the donkey was moving, the donkey saw an angel of the Lord standing in the front of the path. And Balaam couldn't see the angel. And so he hit the donkey. And the donkey went off the path. And he kept hitting the donkey to get back on the path. And then he got back on the path. But then the angel of the Lord appeared again. And Balaam couldn't see the angel. But the donkey saw the angel. Come on, somebody. So the donkey crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. But Balaam still didn't get the lesson. He got back on the path a third time. And the donkey's making his way. The angel of the Lord appears a third time. And Balaam still couldn't see the angel of the Lord. Come on, somebody. So the donkey just sat down and crushed Balaam's foot. And so there is Balaam whipping the donkey. And here's the part of the story I like. God gave the donkey the ability to talk. And the donkey said, "Man, are you crazy? Ever since you owned me, have you ever known me not to obey you? But when I got a choice between obeying you and obeying God, I'm always going to choose God." Come on, somebody. A fool cannot see God standing right in front of you. And you're whipping the donkey trying to do your own thing. But God is saying, "Are you listening to me?" That's the story of Balaam's donkey. There's another name I could give it. But I'm good right there. Balaam's donkey teaches us what a fool is. When God is standing right in front of you, and you still want to get obstinate and decide what you want to decide and do what you want to do. And God has given you one chance. And another chance. And a third chance. How many of you know God is the God of another chance? I'm so glad when I start acting like Balaam that God gives me another chance. I'm so glad for God's grace, His mercy. Has anybody been the recipient of God's grace and His mercy? You should have been dead and gone, but God gave you another chance. Gave you another chance. But there's going to come a time when the chances are done. And Jesus is going to appear. He's going to crack the eastern sky. and he's going to come riding on a white stallion, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's coming for somebody that took off the garment of heaviness and put on the garment of praise. Are you going to be a praise warrior? Took off the garment of complaining and put on the garment of prayer. Are you going to be a prayer warrior? Took off the garment of what I want to do and put on the garment of, Lord, I'm ready for you. Whenever you come, I don't want to be found naked. I want to have my clothes on. I don't know about you, but I'm going to make my discernment in like the back of my head. I'm just going to keep praising him. I don't care what it looks like. I'm going to keep praising him. I don't care what it sounds like. I'm going to keep praising him. I don't care what it feels like. Do I have any praisers in the house? Do I got any prayers in the house? I need some folk who made up in their mind, I'm putting on my garment of praise, and I'm going to listen for God's discernment, and I'm going to be ready when Jesus comes. Somebody say amen today. Somebody say amen. One more time for the Holy Ghost. Everybody standing to their feet. God bless you and God keep you is my prayer. Deacons and deaconess clergy, help me extend the invitation. Deacons and deaconess and clergy. We want to invite someone here today who may not have made the decision to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. I don't know who you are and whose you are, but I can tell you this. God is calling you to take off some stuff and to put on some other stuff. Stop being negative. Stop being pessimistic. Stop being contrary to the will of God. And say, Lord, I'm getting rid of my judgment. I'm putting on your discernment. I'm choosing you today, God. Whoever you are, whomever you are, God is calling you to step out. Give us your hand and give God your heart. Are you here today? Anybody here today? Won't you come forward? Won't you step out? Thank you, Lord. Oh, my brother. If you want to join the church, this is your time to do it right now. If you want to join the church, this is your time to do it right now. I don't know who you are, but I'm calling your name today, right now, in the name of Jesus. Anyone here today? New life. Anyone here today? Oh, come. Come on.
Come on.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's pray. Father, I pray now that you would draw your people. Draw someone out of the seat to give the preacher their hand and give you their heart, God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Have your way right now, God. Have your way. Break some strongholds. Break some opposition. Break some depression. Break some feelings of anger and resentment. Break it right now, God. And draw someone closer to you. In the name of Jesus. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say, amen. Let's put your hands together and give God a praise offering.